Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jackson Dart is ready. The inside the building, I know there is overwhelming excitement to put him on the field. He really impressed in training camp. In the small bits we've seen on the field, he has been productive. At some point, Giants would have loved just wait a couple weeks, get through the tough part of the schedule. Could not do it anymore. Have to play Jackson Dart. Brian Daboll informing both quarterbacks today that the future is now for the New York Giants.
Ian Rapoport talking there. The big news from yesterday, it only took three games, and the Giants are like, nope, Russell Wilson, you're out. Jackson Dart, you are in.
Context matters, and that's always something we try to live by at this point, right, Zach? Context matters. Russell Wilson had thrown for 450 yards in week two against Dallas, but the man played so poorly against Kansas City. And a game that was, it was winnable. You had a chance. But Wilson, that sequence in that red zone scenario, where I'd be scared of asking Wilson to pass the salt for me because it's going to go 15 feet over my head. But he airmails one. To airmail it out of the back of the end zone on fourth and goal,
yeah,
that's a crime against football. And there's no easy part of the Giants' schedule to put Jackson Dart in.
No, funny enough, the easiest game until you're like at the end of the year is, funny enough, against the Saints. The problem is it's on the road after the Chargers. That's their next game, is at the Saints. But then it's Philadelphia and Denver and Philadelphia again.
Yeah, it just... I am worried that Dart might be coming in a little too quickly with a team that might not be that good. But then you look at the Dallas game, for example. And you're like, okay, they have flashes of promise.
I think there is talent there. I think Russell Wilson. And what's funny
and
is...
And even then, there's talent sometimes in Russell Wilson. The man put up a career high in passing yards with the New York Giants.
And that's the thing is, it is funny how this happened, but I also think that's how teams kind of feel about the Dallas defense, which is...
It has a lot more to say about Dallas' defense.
I think it has a lot more to say there. Really, he was doing well in that game just throwing up moon balls and just praying that Wandell Robinson or Malik Nabers came down with them. And they did a lot against Dallas. And then they didn't against the Chiefs. And if you get to a point where your quarterback can't get, what, the first target to Malik Nabers until the third quarter, maybe even a little bit later, I think that's where it's time to pull the plug. Dart, as a rookie, probably just through to sheer ignorance of not knowing really what's going on because it's his first NFL start, will probably find number one.
Yes.
Purely off of, I know he's awesome and I need to get the ball out quick. There is something to that of the rookie will probably just get the ball to the best guys. You hope it's accurate. You hope he makes some of the right decisions. And some of that is not always correct. I mean, Justin Jefferson fantasy owners will understand that with J.J. McCarthy,
right?
Who really had one good quarter through two games. Now he's hurt with a high ankle sprain. We'll see about Dart. I will say, though, he comes in having three full years of starts at Ole Miss in the SEC, very successful years as well, and he seemed to progressively get better and better as his career went on, ultimately culminating, no, not with a playoff appearance, but with over 4,000 yards in college, 29 touchdowns, almost 70% completion percentage, and he did look good in the preseason. I just, for me, and I'll always get here, and sometimes it is not the correct way to go about it, sometimes it absolutely is, but I will always lean into starting the young guys faster than maybe normal, maybe more than you'd want to. because you'll find out. You'll see what the issues are. You'll see what you got to fix. They'll get game reps, and they'll get better. To a certain extent, it's like Deion Sanders, although with Shadur, it's a little rough, but I actually kind of agree with him on this, at least with quarterbacks. I didn't learn much, you know, sitting on the bench. Like, I learned playing, and some quarterbacks, no, you do sit on the bench. Aaron Rodgers probably is not the Aaron Rodgers we know if he doesn't sit for, what, 2-3 years behind Brett Favre. You know, Allen has credited his injury and sitting for, what, 3-4 weeks behind Derek Anderson and just seeing how the game went. But he had also some starts before that. He kind of knew what he had to work on.
The plan was for Allen to really sit a lot. And then it was Peterman starts, and it's so poor that they have to put Allen in right away. And it messes up the entire development plan, kind of. But I will say, it's cruel, but it's also going to help in the long run here that Jackson Dart plays the Eagles twice next month.
It's going to hurt, but
it's twice in 3 weeks, but then ready? After that, life gets better. The 49ers are banged up to hell. They don't have Nick Bosa this year. The Bears, you could probably make some plays against the Bears. Then the Packers, of course, and, you know, that got a little tougher. Same with the Lions again. But then Patriots, Commanders, Vikings, that one's tough. Raiders, Cowboys. To end the year. So the end of the year is a little bit more forgiving for a rookie quarterback. It's just absolutely brutal that he has to show up to a 3-week span of Eagles, Broncos, Eagles.
Yeah, that's not it. And that's the thing, too. The Broncos, their offense has been sputtering. They're 1-2. Bo Nix has not looked great in his second year. The defense is still phenomenal. That defense is still incredible. I think a lot of this also, that they waited to maybe put Jackson Dart in, Andrew Thomas. They wanted to get their all-pro left tackle back in the lineup and have him had played a game, and now I think they feel more comfortable throwing him in there. But that Sunday night game was really bad to watch. And there is that level of hate watching. Of course, being Bills fans, we're watching Kansas City, we want them to lose. But there is also that painful level of hate watching, seeing another team that you're sitting there going, if this was our team, we would have capitalized on all these mistakes. We would have blown them out. And yet you're watching a bad football team, and they're just unable to do anything. There were so many points, especially in the first half, where Kansas City is just unable to move the ball down the field. They look broken. They look awful. Right. But New York somehow looks worse.
New York somehow looks worse. And then you also remember, though, that 450-yard game that Wilson has, though, he puts up a prayer ball.
Mm-hmm.
And loses them the football game.
That's exactly right. I mean, they lose that game because he just chucks up another moon ball and his guys don't come down with it. It's instead an interception.
It's a miss.
Yeah.
It goes way too far infield. If it stays on the sideline, there's actually a decent chance of at least at worst an incompletion. But it goes to the middle of the field. Safety's able to just get under it, comfortably catch it, and Malik Nabers has to make a tackle instead.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I never truly understood the idea of having Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback, because Wilson probably wanted to have an opportunity to be more of a full season starter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's his aim. And then you draft a quarterback, and everyone knew you were going to be drafting a quarterback at some point. It just wasn't going to be at pick 3 or 4. Was it 4?
I think Abdul Carter was 4.
Yes. Sorry. Forgive me for that one. No, it was 3. Abdul Carter was third.
Was it Mason Graham four?
Yes.
Four or five? Yeah.
No, Will Campbell was four.
But,
Mason
so,
Graham was five.
Yeah. Top three.
But anyway, I look at it and go, yeah, like signing Jameis Winston made sense at the time. Like, that makes sense because if you're going to draft a rookie quarterback, you've got Winston. He'll play a couple of games. It'll be pure chaos. You'll learn what not to do, and then you go from there. And the man is as supportive as a teammate as any you can possibly imagine, apparently.
But you might also win some of those games.
You might also win one
with
of those
with
games.
How your defenses were able to perform, both against – I mean, the Dallas game, maybe not. And you ultimately lose that game. Your defense gives up a lot of points. It's a track meet. It's a great – it's a really fun watch as a neutral fan. But Washington week one, you lose that game 21-6.
And you look wholly uninspiring. And Wilson has one game, and it says more about Dallas than it does about the Giants in any way. But the other part of it is how outwardly the rest of the quarterback room is. And then there's Russell Wilson. And it's like, that seems like it didn't make much sense. And I get it. You want to try to win games. You want to save jobs, everything, this, that, and the other. But Wilson is not that player anymore, and it is continuing to be proven.
I wonder
what they're going to do with him now, though, because...
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think he's just going to sit on the bench. They've got two vets now, which is going to be weird. It's going to be after the season, I think, something happens. I just, with Wilson especially, I've just never seen a clear Hall of Fame trajectory, his Seattle career, be extinguished so fast and so like suddenly and so aggressively than his times with Denver, Pittsburgh, and New York. I mean, just flat out, like for him, I don't think he's going into the Hall anymore. There's been too much now of his career where he's been an objectively bad quarterback. He has not been good.
I don't know. His career in Seattle is long enough that I think that he'll be fine. He'll end up in the Hall. It's not going to be right away, though. It will take time because he does have a Super Bowl win. That is something to his favor. He also was Seattle's quarterback for 8 years. Excuse me, 9 years. Nine full seasons as Seattle's quarterback, and he was among the best to do it in that time. So I do think he'll make the Hall of Fame. However, you are right about this. These last 4 years now have made it painful to watch because of how sharp and sudden that crash was. And also, it makes an interesting case of, okay, how great were you really?
Well, and that's why I wonder like how many of these voters, when he eventually does retire, will sit there and go, I think we saw the real Russell Wilson away from one of the better rosters of the 2010s in the Legion of Boom that was built so perfectly for him with the run game with Mark. And that's the thing, too. A lot of his early career was they were defense and run game with Russell making a few big plays. We only really saw the let Russ cook moment. It's probably about 2.5-3 years. That is like really that's the movement, that's the moment where why isn't he getting an MVP? What the hell? Like all this stuff.
Yeah, it's really 2019, 2020.
And then it does now be that probably a lot of his former teammates won't campaign for him.
Yeah.
The Legion of Boom openly does not like him. Or at least maybe it's been a few years, openly didn't love being his teammate once they all left.
Yeah.
And then like how much Pete Carroll really seemed to favor Wilson.
Yeah, it is going to be an interesting study to see at least. I do think that there is enough there that he makes the Hall of Fame. But like you said, the campaigning thing probably doesn't help. Like not having teammates really in your corner will not help. And these past 4 years have just been, it's a tough watch.
It's a real tough watch. There's been blips. Dallas, right? There was blips his second year in Denver. But for the most part, it has been, you find out he's really not a great teammate. You kind of have to run a very certain offense with him. Once he couldn't move, he really became quite bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's a sad way for his career to end because of the high highs in Seattle, where he really did kind of change how people were able to look at the position. 5'11", but a stocky guy that could throw a beautiful deep ball and could move around. I mean, he somewhat changed how people were able to look at the position. You didn't have to be this big guy. He was a third-round pick mainly due to his size out of Wisconsin. And immediately he was up there as one of the best rookies we'd ever seen. 26 touchdowns, I think 10 picks. He was great.
That Matt Flynn contract looking terrible, yeah, right away.
And it's just – Matt Flynn, greatest backup quarterback performance ever. That Week 17 game against Detroit where he threw like six touchdown passes at home. Beautiful. But yeah, it's a sad end for his career, and I think this is probably it. I don't think another team's going to bring him in to be a starter. I just don't.
Absolutely not.
803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. Also, Bills head coach Sean McDermott will be speaking with the media as we get the week underway for the Bills. You can follow all of Sal's updates there over on Twitter, at Sal Sports, for the latest. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.